Welcome in to this edition of The Current Report, our weekly roundup of what's happening in the world of digital media. I'm your host, Chris Brooklier. Last year was the year for brands hitting the big screen, headlined, of course, by Barbie, and flanked by movies on Nike's Air Jordan brand, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and more, making the product, in some ways, the star. Brands are becoming a bigger part of the story across streaming, too, as evidenced by Pinterest partnering with media company Tastemade on its first-ever half-hour, 10-episode show. Tastemade creates original programming across streaming and FAST platforms in the lifestyle, food, and travel arena, boasting production studios in 7 countries across the world. But this isn't Tastemade's first foray, though, into this type of content. They've also launched shows with Hyundai and Constellation Brands. These brand-funded shows live and breathe as a way for brands to subvert traditional advertising and attach themselves to an experience, like traveling, eating delicious food, or wine tasting. To get the inside scoop on the power of these partnerships, we're bringing in McCall Gridley, Tastemade's head of sales and partner experience. All right, pleased to be joined by McCall. McCall, you said that your kids are outside. They're not going to be listening to the podcast. Hopefully they listen to it right after they go. I don't know how much experts they are on programmatic advertising, but maybe one day in the future, but happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Chris. No, I've bribed them with television and sugar as a means of keeping them outside the door. So I think we're good for the next 30 minutes. And then it's anything goes from there. So,
okay. I'm very interested in this topic that we're going to talk about today, you know, really about brand-funded shows and sort of the rise of them, how much bigger they're going to get. Why do you think that these brand-funded shows are getting bigger? And how does Tastemade fit into all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Brands have always been looking for ways to connect with consumers at a deeper level. There's a lot that a 30-second or 15-second advertisement can do, but there's a lot that it can't do. And brands have been coming to Tastemade since 2012 to tell great stories and to tell it in the places that audiences are actually watching the content. And they're all out there with the mission of trying to change perception, get people bought into their brand into a deeper level. And with the rise of streaming and the opportunity to tell longer, richer, deeper stories, brands are really flocking to that platform as the new place to tell their brand story. It allows a lot more storytelling than what we've seen across social over the past 10 plus years, where everything was really geared towards that short, snackable content. Streaming offers the platform for richer, longer, deeper storytelling.
For advertisers, you know, what success have they seen integrating themselves into these types of programs?
You have to think first and foremost, is the story that you're telling a story that you as a consumer, as a viewer, would be interested in watching? You have to take your brand hat off and really think, is this entertaining? We often tell brands that the value exchange between brand and viewer, brand and consumer, with a 30-second or a 15-second piece of content is very different than asking them to sit down and give an hour or 30 minutes of their time to view your story. And so if you really think about it through the consumer first lens and think, is this a story that I would want to watch if I didn't work here? And then that should be your North Star, and finding a partner who also has that audience first perspective, who can guide you throughout that process to ensure that you're not only telling your brand story, but you're telling an entertaining, truly engaging story is super important, and making sure that what you're putting out at the end isn't just an extended cut of a 30-second TV spot, that it's a true standalone piece of entertainment.
So you were describing a little bit earlier about how there's been sort of this maturation or shift from social into streaming. Could you break down for me why that's happening and maybe some of the advantages that you see on streaming for a brand that you wouldn't get through social?
I would say that there's a shift happening, but more so it's creating an opportunity for complementary storytelling and really bridging that gap between what people are experiencing in their living rooms and what they're experiencing oftentimes simultaneously on their mobile devices or on their computers. We know that viewers are oftentimes multitasking. I think we're probably both guilty of it. I know I am. And so if you can find a second screen to engage an audience, that is the most powerful combination. And so when we think about the advantages that streaming offers, not only is it physically the bigger screen, most often it's being, at least for Tastemade, it's being viewed in a TV living room environment, but we're also able to tell longer stories. There's a different type of attention that is given to content when somebody's sitting down and watching it in what is traditionally like a linear environment, as opposed to scrolling through and you need to grab somebody's attention in those first 3 seconds. That is just a very different environment for a brand, and it allows for more than just capturing their attention. It really allows for you to transform the way that they think about your brand and how they actually engage with it on a deeper level.
Gotcha. So then how do we feel maybe this will evolve down the road? Like, what's the future of the brand funded storytelling?
I think we're going to see a flood of advertisers and a flood of brands try to put out great shows. As with anything, there are going to be a lot of misses, more misses than hits. And I think what we'll really find is the brands that have not only that great story to tell, but a great Sherpa to help them tell that story and make sure that it gets in front of the right people. Those are the brands that are really going to benefit from it.
So what's the process like when you get into one of these brand funded shows? Like, does the brand reach out to you? Does Tastemade reach out to the brand? And then sort of what's the whole process to go from sort of the origin to getting it onto Tastemade?
When we work with brands, they're typically coming to us either with a kernel of an idea or an objective that they're looking to achieve. Streaming does a really good job at being able to change people's perception of a brand or change people's perception of how that brand fits into the overall world and the consumer's world. And so that's oftentimes one of the KPIs that brands will come to us for, is that change in perception. They'll come to us with an idea of what they want to tell. And then what we'll do is we'll go ahead and work with our studios team, work with our development team, who's simultaneously creating content for some of the world's biggest brands like Pinterest and Amazon. We'll put together a show concept for them, and coupled with that show concept, we'll actually put together what that entire ecosystem of content looks like. I know I mentioned the word ecosystem a few times at this point, but I think it's super important in when you're thinking about how to create a great show or a great piece of content, because it's not just that singular piece of content. It's how are you creating different pieces of content that ladder back up to and support the hero asset in all of the places where you know that consumer is watching content. And so what is the role of each of those pieces of content? So we'll put together that original show idea, and then what does that show look like amplified across all of the major social platforms? How does that live on Tastemade's channels? How and if we support that across off channel and off platform to drive viewership to it, to Tastemade's channels as well.
All right. I think that's a great way to end it.
Great. I hope that wasn't too nitty gritty.
No. We didn't hear anything from your kids, so I think we crushed it.
Crossing my fingers that we'd make it out without much interruption, but it's been great chatting today, Chris. I really appreciate the time.
And finally, we're capping off this episode with one last thing. This Olympics, viewers will see more sponsorships for B2B companies. The current Zach Wang, who heads up our coverage in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, shares why.
It's a really interesting phenomenon, obviously, when we look at the growth of live sports on CTV, and we look at the Olympics being essentially the premier sporting competition in the world, we're really seeing incredible opportunities for B2B brands to really get out there and to reach their customers in a new way. We've also seen a blurring of lines between what's a consumer and what's a business brand. You know, your average B2B buyer is really just a normal consumer as well. And so this blurring of channels and the growth of CTV as a channel that can help reach not just consumers, but also the segment of business buyers. That's what's making sponsorships like the Olympics a really interesting playing ground for business firms. And there are various examples across sports leagues, across the world. So I think we're really starting to see B2B brands take a new approach to how they're reaching their customers, especially with being mindful of how generations are changing.
And that's it for this edition of The Current Report. For a deeper dive on all these stories plus more, check out thecurrent.com. And of course, please like and subscribe on YouTube, plus leave us a review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen. And if you want to hear more from The Current, listen to The Current Podcast, where we interview some of marketing's biggest leaders about their keystone career moments and where the industry is going next. We'll see you next week.